Please come in. Our hope and only expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing Psalter 428, the sixth stanza. O Lord, thou art my portion and my lot. I said that I would keep thy word forever. Sixth stanza, 428. The Holy Scriptures can be found in the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, the 10th chapter, starting at verse 14 through the end. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14 through the end. But before we will confess with the Church of all ages and places the undoubted Christian faith with the words of the 12 articles, and after the reading of the Holy Scriptures, we read the Lord's Day 28.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10, starting at verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we all are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered is sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles that eat, asking no question for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not, for his sake that showeth it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether thereof ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Lord's Day 28, question 75. How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all his benefits? Answer, thus, that Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of him, adding these promises. First, that his body was offered and broken on the cross for me, and his blood shed for me, as certainly as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me, and the cup communicated to me. And further, that he feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life with his crucified body and shed blood, as assuredly as I receive from the hands of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord, a certain signs of the body and blood of Christ. Question 76. What is it then to eat the crucified body and drink the shed blood of Christ? Answer. It is not only to embrace with a believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ, and thereby to obtain the pardon of sin and life eternal, but also besides that, to become more and more united to His sacred body by the Holy Ghost, who dwells both in Christ and in us, so that we, to Christ is in heaven, and we on earth are not withstanding flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone, and that we live and are governed forever by one Spirit, as members of the same body are by one soul. Question 77. Whereas Christ promised that He will certainly feed and nourish believers with His body and blood, as they eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup? Answer. In the institution of the supper, which is thus expressed, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. This promise is repeated by the holy apostle Paul, where he says, The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Thus far.
Let's seek the face of the Lord in prayer. Lord, Thou art God to be worshipped, and worshipped alone, who created the world for Thy own glory, who created man and mankind to be the governors, the stewards, for Thy glory in this world, to live in communion with Thee and to glorify Thee, for we are created into Thy image, that's in Thy dear communion, in Christ, the image of Thee. And after the likeness, we had no sin, we filled with wisdom, only righteousness and holiness, and we forsook it. We want to return to ourselves, to own Thy property, to disown Thy glory, to use all things for our own interest. And we ruined our souls, the world, the animals are suffering because of us. What have we done? And on our side, it's irreversible. We can't change it. We don't want to change it even by nature. But Thou, wonder of all wonders, Thou wanted to be reconciled. thou wanted to be reconciled with thy people, to create new creatures in Christ, destined for a new world, a new heaven, and a new earth wherein righteousness liveth. And now I beg thee, make us partakers of thee. One flesh, one body, one soul. Ach Lord, take us to turn around, to be converted, to believe, to trust, to lean upon the lover of souls, of thy people's souls. And now we have to explain the institution, the command of thee for the Lord's Supper, for thy supper. In the first place, it was thy supper. Thou hast drinking the blood and eating the body. Thou hast accepted a broken body to be crucified, and he shed blood to be poured in the dirty souls of thy people. Therefore thou hast said, do it in remembrance of me, for my purpose, for my glory, for my presence. Be with us this afternoon. Remember those who couldn't come and are not allowed to come, or are sick and weak and old, for those who are not interested in sacraments, baptism or Lord's Supper, those who think it's not for me anyways, and no hunger nor thirst. Lord, I bring the whole congregation at thy throne, and I beg thee, please, work salvation in Christ in their souls, according to thy eternal purpose and good pleasure. Open the scriptures unto us, make us simple, and that even children could understand it, but give the children an ear and a heart to hear and to understand these things. Remember the church around us and the churches, all those, if they are not hearing the gospel, have mercy upon us. But thou hast said unto us as ministers that we should preach in no other than Christ, one name given in the name by which we must be saved, to be the witnesses of thee, of thy Son, the old Father, and that by the Holy Ghost, that thou mayest forgive our sins and look upon us in the only mediator, the husband spiritually of the wife, the church, which is black and also beautiful. Have mercy upon us, dear Lord. We ask it for thy name's sake, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Congregation, let's go back to know what, otherwise we might forget. Question 65. Since we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, whence does this faith proceed? Where does it come from? Now, it's a fruit from the Holy Ghost, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel, of the promises for lost and ruined sinners, preaching of the gospel. but not only, and confirms it, strengthens it by the use of the sacraments. So the sacraments don't work, but the Holy Ghost uses it for the true believers to strengthen or confirm their faith. Now, why I say this, that the sacrament doesn't give you faith. It's not a means to give salvation. It strengthens salvation, saving knowledge of Christ, the only sacrifice, Jesus Christ. So only true believers in Christ, and you see it already if we turn now to Lord's Day 28. Are thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and all of his benefits? But listen, that Christ has commanded me and all believers. All believers in Christ to eat of this broken bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of him. So, God, the Holy Ghost, works faith by the preaching of the gospel, and he confirms or strengthens faith, freedom in faith, by the work of the Holy Ghost using the sacraments. The first, for the sacraments for ingrafting in Christ, and the Lord's Supper for the feeding of the souls of the true believers in Christ, or with the bread and blood of Christ. Now that's first. Baptism is once. You can only be once ingrafted in Christ. I'm not saying baptism does it, but it's a sign of the signified matter of true faith in Christ, ingrafted in him. I dealt with it last week and said even that children can have the sign but not the signified matter that supposes to have only the signified matter by a faith worked in the soul. But the Lord's Supper feeds that life in Christ. Some eat once a year, do you? You don't. In the first ages of Christianity, they administered the Lord's Supper every week. Now, Pastor, you've seen in the Catholic Church how wrong that went, I know. But do it in remembrance of me until I come. Now, Calvin said it should be done four times, not to make an idolatry of it, and they did make an idolatry of it in the Roman Catholic Church. So four times a year, minimum. To feed a hungry and thirsty soul for the righteousness of Christ, to eat and to drink. But again, congregation, we need to discern between the sign and the signified matter. For you're not saved by eating the Lord's Supper. You're saved by faith, or in faith eating and drinking the Lord's Supper. Therefore, a sacrament is constituted by the element and by the promise. We can say we ate the element and therefore we are saved. That's not true. Then you don't discern the body of Christ. You make it bread and wine. You don't believe in the crucified body of Christ. You misuse the gospel. You misuse the sacrament. If you trust just in the bread and being a partaker of the Lord's Supper for salvation. You can only be fed using by the Holy Ghost the Lord's Supper as a sacrament to feed your souls by the Holy Ghost. When there is true faith, the sign and the signified manner are one. The moment you eat, the moment you believe, the moment you believe, the moment you eat, and you have peace with God by the work of the Holy Spirit, then sign and signified matter are joined together to one. Well, congregation, I'm now stopping in the foreword, but we continue now the Lord's Day 28 after singing. That's 117, 1 through 4. 117, 1 through 4. Expanse the hair, pans the heart, the streams of living water. 1 through 4, 117. congregation. This question 75 says something that seems to be very difficult to understand. It says in the first place that Christ has commanded. And the commands of Christ don't rely on your agreement with it or your readiness for it. Christ has commanded. To me and all believers, the communion of saints. And the commands of Christ are not dependent on my allowance or readiness. He commands it even when I'm not ready, if I'm a true believer, if I belong to Christ. We make it always acceptable for us to go. We are ready. But probably you must go if you're not ready. As a Christian, listen. When you think, it's for me no more anymore, he says, come, take and eat. Even Peter, before he denied his Lord, he said, take and eat. It's a command. It's a command. Not for a nominal Christian, but for a true believer. Probably weak in faith and attacked from in and outside. But not only for me, but for me and all believers. That's the communion of saints. That is the body of Christ, spiritually. To eat of this broken bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of him. Adding these promises first, that his body was offered and broken on the cross for me, and his blood shed for me, as certainly as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup communicated to me. Now, let's deal first. Why the body and the blood? Why the difference? Well, the body points to the human nature of Christ, holy. And he broke it to be made my sin and death, and to hand his righteousness, his finished work, to the children of God. He broke it. He broke his perfect obedience to take up the cross and be condemned as a blasphemer, that I might be by his sacrifice righteous in him. So the body points to the obedience of Christ to the law. To answer the requirements of the righteousness of God. We have sinned and we need perfect obedience. Christ was perfect obedient, but he broke it and gave it to his people. And his obedience was given to me. So it deals with the obedience to the law as a finished work. He paid, he was my sin, my death, to be for me my righteousness in life. But the blood deals with the guilt or the debt But the blood is for the forgiveness of all sins. Congregation, you need two things in your life. Some people say, I need only forgiveness. I said, that's half. You need to be perfect before God by the obedience of Jesus. Therefore, he took your disobedience and he broke it to give you his obedience. As if I had never sinned nor done any evil. That's the body of Christ. And the blood deals with the guilt of sin, the debts. When the blood is applied to your soul, you're debtless. You're without debts. No condemnation for those. Why Christ Jesus? Our nature doesn't meet the demands of God, and our life is always guilty. Now, in the sacrifice of Jesus, he gives his righteousness. Now in the Bible, it says when you see the cross of Christ, that's that white rope that's woven from top to bottom, and he became naked and cursed, but he gave that white rope as the perfect obedience to his church. And I say it again, like this morning, by faith. You don't see it, you believe it. Worked by the Holy Ghost in the preaching of the promises of the gospel of Christ being preached as the only sacrifice. In the first place, in that sacrament you see, there are three words important. I see with my eyes. Yeah? He feeds my soul. Eat. As I receive it of the hands of the minister. And taste it with my mouth. The three things. I see, receive it, and taste it, eat it. Why the three words? In the first place, seeing looks to the merits of Christ, once sacrificed at the cross. The women stood afar off, but they looked to the sacrifice of Jesus. They saw it. Now, the Lord's Supper, the minister breaks the bread. Is a servant of Christ, like Christ, break the bread. The minister doesn't, but he points in that breaking to Christ who breaks the bread. And he pours the wine. See it. Secondly, he hands it. They don't take it. It's given to you. That's the application. You see the merits of Christ, but it's given to you. Every child of God knows that's given to her. Or not? Did you buy it? Yeah, without price and without money, yeah. But every child of God, that's a gift. It's given to them. It's given to you to believe in Christ and to suffer for Christ's sake. It's a gift. It's not your work. It's the work of the Holy Ghost in your heart. Therefore, in the ministry of the administration of the Lord's Supper, it should be given, handed to you and all believers. That ceremonial not only, that shows what sovereign grace, that's a gift. Christ is given of the Father as a finished Savior, as a Savior who finished his work. And he gives it to the believers. Thirdly, taste. There is a philosopher, it's Eden, but I use his term, his word. He says, you are what you eat. In the Lord's Supper, if you eat it by faith, you are what you eat. Saved from sin, engrafted in Christ, and having in Christ eternal life. You are what you eat. You eat the Lord Jesus by faith. His flesh and drink his blood. And is no narrower communion than eating and drinking. I'm married with my wife, but we are two persons. Still, in my children I'm one. Do you hear what I'm saying? In your children you are one. But in your marriage you are a wife and a husband. Still are. Once you pass away, then the husband passes away or the wife. But there is no narrower communion than eating and drinking. Christ in me and I in him. I eat the Lord Jesus. He says, take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my life. But you don't eat it by eating the bread. That's a sign. You eat it by believing. The promises connected to the signs. You can only eat by faith. And drink by faith. For without faith it's impossible to please God. And therefore, if you just trust the signs, you don't discern the body of Christ properly. You turn to the elements and not to the risen and saving Christ. Then you don't discern the body of Christ. But let's make it plain. It's for the weakest believer, just for them. And some have said to me, Pastor, it's to strengthen faith, yeah. But I believe that all God's children know what's a weak faith. They know it. And therefore Christ commanded. He knew the weakness and the backsliding and the self-interest of the children of God. He said, take it. He commanded it to sustain, to feed the souls of his people by the finished work. And now I combine them together of the Lord Jesus. Secondly, if we listen to, or thirdly, if we listen to this question, you see that the merits and the application are discerned. We all can believe that Christ suffered for his people. And normally it's preached too. It's finished. But the sacrament deals not only with the merits of Christ, but with the application of the merits of Christ. And what can I say? You can see bread behind the window of a baker. And you can say, nice bread, good bread, whole discussion about it, and say, that's the best baker. But if you don't have it, you're hungry. You need to eat it. It needs to be applied to your soul. Now, the first thing given that faith is by the work of the Holy Ghost, by the preaching of the gospel, but sustaining, feeding that Christian life, feeding upon Christ, is in the way of the sacraments and by the preaching of the word. So if you are a true believer, not using the sacraments, you'll hurt yourself. Now, Pastor, now you're pushing people to the Lord's Supper. I'm not. It's disobedience even. And it hurts your own soul. So it's a command. Yeah, it's a command. Take, eat. Until I return. Come back. And I believe even congregation, while it's a command of Christ, he blesses it. If it wasn't a command, if it would depend on my eagerness or hunger, then I'm centered. No, he says, take it in remembrance of me. Now what's remembrance? What is remembrance? Do you know what you're doing when you remember? You make the past present. Again, if you remember, you make in your remembrance the past present. If you remember your past father or grandfather, then you see him walk and hear him talk. You make him present. Do it in remembrance of me. Remember my presence in the finished work among you. Take and eat. Secondly, if it's a command, God gives what he commands. I know you have some resistance against it. For many times in the preparation for Lord's Supper, we admonish the people to be prepared. But I had an old Christian in my first congregation, Le Brook. By the preaching of the preparation for the Lord's Supper, I see her sitting in the front row, crying. Afternoon, after the morning service, I went there and saw her and said, dear, what's it? She says, I lost everything I had. I said, now you're prepared. For we don't come to this supper to prove that we are it. We come to this supper to remember him and his sacrifice alone. When you are prepared, probably you are not prepared. He went in the hedges and said, everything is ready. It's finished work for finished sinners. And that's going on, going on, going on, going on. That's grace. You don't come to this table to prove that you're a Christian. You don't do confession of faith to prove that you are a Christian. You come to this table in remembrance of Him and His sacrifice. He is purposed, and now you are purposed. So everyone can come? No, I didn't say that, I think. To me and all believers, united in and with Christ. That's it. But then it's a command, and then it doesn't rely on your approvals. If you don't come, if you're a Christian, you are evangelical disobedient to God. And it hurts your soul, I tell you. It will hurt your soul. And therefore we have seen, and then it's handed to us what? To broken for me, and the cup is communicated to me, and further that He feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life. With His crucified body and His shed blood, as assuredly as I receive from the hands of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord, as certain signs of the body and blood of Christ, as sure as I eat it, so sure, listen, not sure, assured, my assurance is outside of me. He assures me by the Holy Ghost that His blood has washed me from all sins, and His body broken made me righteous before God, having eternal life in Christ Jesus. Again, three things: seen, received, and tasted and nourished. That spiritual life can only be fed with the finished work of the Lord Jesus. Let's sing 2:13, 8 and 11. 2:13, 8 and 11. With bread from on high, their need He supplied. They have it. And 11, not right with their God, in heart and in will, their faithless broke His covenant still. 8 and 11, 2:13. What is it then to eat the crucified body and drink the shed blood of Christ? It's not only to embrace with a believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ, and thereby obtain the pardon of sin and life eternal, but also besides that to become more and more united to his sacred body by the Holy Ghost, who dwells both in Christ and in us, so that we, though Christ is in heaven and we on earth, are notwithstanding flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and that we live and are governed forever by one Spirit as members of the same body, are by one soul. Now, first, faith. Always two uniting principles. That's first, faith. Faith unites. Faith has an object, it's Christ preached. And by faith you unite it, engraft it. But there is a second. You're baptized by one Spirit into one body. That's by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost assures, makes you child of God. You get the Spirit of adoption. You can say, faith works in my soul, and the Holy Ghost falls upon you for assurance, sealed by the Spirit. And I've said before, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. You can say, I believe, but is the Spirit dwelling in you? So by faith united, that's eaten and drinking, and by the Spirit sealed, assured, by the use of the sacraments, one thing, and the preaching of the gospel, the word. We easily forget the second. And in churches, at least, they don't preach the sealing of the Spirit to the herd of souls. The Spirit is an erebon, is a gift, is a pars pro toto, is a part of the whole. That Spirit brings you into the body of Christ, not only united, sealed with him, but also with the spiritual body of Christ, the communion of saints. So again, faith unites with Christ, and the Spirit dwells in the hearts and the souls of his people as the body of Christ. Now that's in the sacrament to be seen. One bread, and many eat of it. One wine, one cup. Therefore, our old elder also said, and you have seen that we changed it. He said we shouldn't have two cups. We should have, and we as a consistory probably never explained it to him, but you have seen how it went. We believe that it should be one cup. And we use one cup now. Drink of one cup. One wine flows. So communion with Christ gives, by the Holy Ghost, communion with Christ and the whole body of Christ, the believers. Many become one. That's eating and drinking the body and blood of Christ. It's not only my relation to Christ, it's the communion of saints, Christ and the children of God. triangle. And therefore he said, and he commanded me and all believers. Officially you can't eat the Lord's Supper all by yourself, although there's always a minister. But the communion with Christ should be also the communion in Christ with the children of God. That love floweth from him. And if not, there is no assurance. Therefore, it's not only believing with a believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ, and thereby obtain pardon of sin and life eternal, but also, besides that, become more and more united with Christ, and then it continues, and united with all the children of Christ. And the Heidelberg Catechism is clear and says that he dwells in us and we dwell in him. Even in heaven congregation, God will be all, half, that's half, in all. God will be all in all. Communion in Christ by the Holy Ghost, baptized by the Spirit into one body, the spiritual body of the Lord Jesus. And God uses, therefore, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper as a sacrament of Christ in communion with his church. And if the love of Christ is poured out in your heart, and you're a true believer, you experience the love of all the people of God. And the Bible says not only with words, but it should be also with deeds. And we are by one Spirit, and I've said it before, baptized into one body. And I might be an eye, and you might be an ear, and I might be an hand, but it makes the body of Christ. Until the last is put in that spiritual body, then the world vanishes. And I believe that that's Psalm 133, where the love is, God's blessing is. If the love is the brethren love, then there is the blessing. Or you can say it different, there is a blessing when the love of Christ is experienced in the heart. And I tell you this, and you know it probably, when that love of Christ is poured out at the table, there is such a love between each other. But if there is a discord, it stops. And we're probably easygoing sometimes. While we have quarreled with each other and having communion at the Lord's table and not making it, then there is a hindrance. That's the week for preparation. That there is nothing between you and the child of God or anyone else. So at the Lord's table you see the communion of saints. Then he is the head. Now two things, that we live and are governed forever by one Spirit as members of the same body, are by one soul. Now, if you are a member of Christ, you are having your life in Christ, partaker of Christ, and are governed in that body by one Spirit, Can I give an example? Yes, I can. There are people under preaching, even here, who know what I'm going to say the next word, with the Spirit testifies it. We make of the Spirit something strange. But He is the third person of the Trinity. And He witnesses in the hearts of the children of God, Christ in Him crucified, and the unification, the union with Him and each other as members of the body of Christ. There's another thing in this question, and that should be expounded on, that's being more and more united with Him. There's an increase in the knowledge of Christ, and that's true. But by eating and drinking, you're growing, is it? But it's a bit different than the world. We are not growing, we are. He is growing. Some people say, I'm growing. But John the Baptist says different. He says, he has to increase and I have to decrease. Now what's growing faith? Christ is growing in you. More and more. And now I speak to the children of God, and I hope you understand these things. Every child of God says to me and his own soul, I know not so much of Him, I want to know more of Him. And together with all the saints, we don't know the fullness of Christ. What do I know? Rutherford says that I would know His name. And Rutherford has written one of the best books. Do you know what he says about his knowledge of Christ? I would like to know His name. And every child of God says, I would know, like to know all of Him. Isn't it? If you're married to your wife, I always say to young couple, you don't know each other, oh, Pastor, we, shh. You get to know each other when troubles come. When afflictions are coming. When your wallet is empty. I know my Savior when affliction is coming, when my wallet is empty. He says, take and eat, for I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the weakness of faith is the fullness of Christ by grace supplied by the Holy Ghost. We don't come to this table to profess that we are the man or woman, that we are righteous in ourselves. No, we seek it outside of ourselves in Christ Jesus. More and more united. More and more made one in life and death to a sacred body by the Holy Ghost who dwells both in Christ and in me. That although Christ is in heaven in a glorious body, I am united with Him by faith, put in heaven. I have dealt with it this morning and I am not going in details again. But my dear congregation, I died His death. and I live his life. And that's my life, not my life, but his life. And I have to decrease, and he has to increase. That's what John the Baptist said. I have to die to myself, to live unto God. And that's the work of the Holy Ghost. And the union in the Lord's Supper is instrumental to it. That's not me. Not at all. Never. It's in him and him alone. Whereas Christ promised that he will as certainly feed and nourish believers with his body and blood as they eat of his broken bread and drink of his cup in the institution of the supper. Congregation, Christ has instituted the supper. We didn't ask for it. We didn't find out. He has instituted his own supper, which he does express, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. Again, he didn't pray, he was thankful. He thanked his Father to be the mediator and savior of his people, to glorify God in all righteousness. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, that's a command, eat, it's a command. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Again, this is my body. Now I come to it, the Lord's willing, next week. For the Roman Catholic Church says, by the blessings of the Holy, by the priest, the body, the bread, transforms in the body of Christ. And then the priest takes it and brings it to the altar. He sacrifices it. In the Catholic Church, and I come to it next time better, the bread is sacrificed. The body of Christ is sacrificed. The Catholic Church don't believe in a sacrificed Christ, but a Christ that is still sacrificing. Not the finished work, but the suffering work is the center. We eat the bread and drink the blood as the finished sacrifice fruits of Christ. Therefore it's not bloody, and the bread is bread, not meat. But we eat and drink by faith. He says, take and eat. This is my body. How is it my body? I always struggled with it. I can understand the questions of the Catholic Church. Abram sacrificed an animal, and in the peace offering he ate it. Do we need to sacrifice the body of Christ? That's what the Catholics say. No, Christ is high priest and lamb. He sacrificed his own body. He broke it. He handed it out. So we believe in a sacrificing Savior for the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. We don't sacrifice. We can't sacrifice. He has sacrificed, and we eat and drink, therefore he gives thanks. He doesn't bless it. He gave thanks to his Father to be the sacrificed and the finisher of faith, the beginning and the end of a true faith in himself. Now he says, it's broken for you. Do it in remembrance of me. It's not only remembrance of me, again I've said, to make it present, but also what he does in remembrance of me. When he cried out at the cross, it's finished. And when you eat and drink his bread, you don't show forth the death of the Lord till he comes. That it's always, the Lord's Supper is a prelude for the supper of the Lamb. Therefore, in the form, it's always Sursum Corda, lift up your heads, your hearts. Christ isn't here. He says, do it until I come. It's a prelude for one day I will be at the supper of the Lamb. Eat and drink it. God in Christ, no. Being with God and Christ by the Holy Ghost. And that's said by the Lord Jesus. And this promise is repeated by the Holy Apostle Paul when he says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Congregation, some words. Do we allow people to go to the Lord's Supper? In the Lutheran Church, everyone can go, for they believe it could be a means to salvation. But in the Calvinistic, and I think biblical churches, you can only go if you're a believer. If you have confessed, believed, and confessed his name. Therefore, in the first Christian churches, the non-believers were sent out of church when the Lord's Supper was administered. Therefore, it's called Mass. And Mass or Miss means Missa Est, they were sent away. And only the true believers stayed in church and had communion of saints. Yeah, Pastor, that's idolatry. No, it's not idolatry. Me and all believers. We never did it. And probably we don't need to do it. But why were they sent away? To show that they had not a saving faith. In the early church, it was clear who believed and who didn't believe. But we have a time and age that and when you did confession of faith, you had to do two things. Deny the devil and believe Christ. And therefore we have Sensura Morum. Well, we believe as a consistory that you have to have confession of faith done. We tell you and tell the consistory, and the consistory as a part, as the rulers of the whole church, that you are a Christian to go to the Lord's Supper. Now, in Scotland, you have to confess your faith and you get a coin in the Free Presbyterian Church. They give you a coin. And when you go to the Lord's Supper, you can put the coin on the table. But why do they do that? To discern between true and false, between honest and not honest, between a true Christian and not a true Christian. For it's the meal of the saints. Now my last thing I tell, and then we go home. In Scotland there was a minister, a narrow believer, a sanctified Christian. And people were going to the Lord's Supper. And he came forward and he said, I can't administer. I feel there is a hindrance. There is a man in our midst who didn't confess guilt and lives in enmity with people around him. And as long as that man is still sitting here, and I don't even know who he is, but I feel that's what it is, I'm not administering the Lord's Supper in your midst. There's no room for it. Do you know what happened? A man stood up and left the church. And God sanctified that Lord's Supper for the use of the confirmation of faith, and even by giving unbelievers a true faith in Christ. Sometimes, congregation, we are not narrow enough. Now listen, you should be open, Pastor. I'm not saying we shouldn't. But we should discern between true believers and not true believers. And in the early church, they were just sent away until they made confession of faith. Congregation, we continue the Lord's wedding next week. Let's pray. Amen. Ah, Lord, it's a secret, mystery. And I did touch only some things of it. Way too shallow. But I know one thing, unless thou art feeding me with thy broken body and thy shed blood, I have no life in myself. Oh, that I may eat it by faith and drink it by faith. Then I'd eat thy body and drink thy blood as a once sacrifice for always. And thou art not changing. Remember the congregation, be with us. No, let us be with thee. And that Christ in him crucified might be preached here, please, Lord. Allow us, Lord, to see the beauty of Jesus once and time again, to be united with him into one body and one head. One bridegroom and one bride. The bride of Jesus, black and beautiful. We ask it for thy name's sake only. Amen. Let's sing lastly 281, 3 and 4. 281, 3 and 4. Mindful now, changeless is Jehovah's mercy. 3 and 4, 281. Thank you. receiving the blessings of the living God, the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.